feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seemed to be a palpable discord between manager and players.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm your host, Jack Rathbourne, and I'm joined today by Will Dubay. We are going to review the game last night, a 2-1 win for Chelsea at Rennes, and it means that Chelsea have qualified for the last 16 of the Champions League, currently top of Group E ahead of Sevilla, both teams now on 10 points, Krasnodar and Rennes languishing in third and fourth, just on 1 point now. So the group is pretty much done and dusted. Obviously, Chelsea and Sevilla in Spain, that will decide who finishes top. And it could or could not be vital for the team's chances of progressing deeper into the Champions League. But the first job is done. Frank Lampard absolutely delighted to get this group done and dusted, and now has two games to rotate his pretty large squad. So that can be really useful. And I think a few players grasped their opportunity last night when the team was rotated. So yeah, a positive result, but sprinkled in with some negatives. And Will's here to discuss it. Obviously took the lead in impressive circumstances after a bright start through Callum Hudson-Odoi. Brilliant work from Mason Mount, not only to provide an absolutely sublime assist over the top, but to rob Doku of possession with his trademark pressing. I thought it was really impressive. But then Chelsea let him back into the game. Guirassy's header, sort of, it was coming, wasn't it, Will? It was a trend really in the game, with Ren growing in confidence, but got out of jail in the end. And a nice ball from Ziyech to Timo Werner, who squandered another big chance, but it fell for Giroud on as a substitute, and he just provided a reminder that he can still do it at this level. So on to the recap, Will. What were your immediate takeaways? A good start, Mason Mount embodying everything good that Lampard has seen recently in this Chelsea team, Hudson-Odoi grasping his chances. Anything else positive you want to mention from that start?
Yeah, I think it was a positive start to the game. It was one where you could tell, I think Frank probably said, let's start fast, let's try and get up an early sort of lead, and then we can look to take even more players off. I think we started fast, but we've only taken a one goal lead. It was kind of finally in the balance. I think the last sort of 10-15 minutes of the first half, there were signs that we were really trying to coast through the game, you know, with minimal effort, trying to get the win. And I think that was even the case when some of the quality sort of substitutions were introduced. They were trying to sort of coast through it. I think we, even though we picked up a little bit immediately after the second half, you could tell that the instructions were to sort of raise it, try and, you know, go up through the gears and score another goal, which I think we would have been well capable of doing. But I think it is difficult to just get the players to do that when with this packed schedule, and they've got Tottenham in mind on Sunday. No one wants to get injured. So it was one of those where the players were trying to coast, which is inevitable. I actually thought we looked relatively comfortable kind of sitting off, and I didn't think they caused us too many problems. I thought we were just going to kind of coast to that 1-0 win. I think I was surprised to see us concede from a set piece, because we've been really, really good on set pieces, defending corners so far this season. Seems like the penny's kind of dropped, and there's been a lot of work done on that. But I think I still felt, even when they equalised, there was enough time for us to just up it a gear. There was still probably about 10 minutes left in the game, if you include injury time. So, and that kind of proved to be the case. I just thought there would be one chance in it. I think it was Kante intercepted the ball on the halfway line, as he so often does, and then CX showed good quality to feed Werner. Obviously missed the chance, you thought it's gone, and then Giroud comes out of absolutely nowhere. You know, I think what you said on our chat, he leapt like a salmon and just generated so much power. It's great to see him sort of come on and influence a game, which hasn't been the case for a while. And I think with this massive squad, the five subs in the Champions League is a good chance to sort of get multiple players involved. And I think it's the only way that we can sustain this massive squad with loads of quality. I think I really hope that it comes in the Premier League. I think it'll massively be to our advantage, because heading into January, it's not going to be sustainable to keep the likes of Callum and Giroud, who both seized their opportunities last night, to keep them happy. Because, you know, if you only got three subs, you can only have so many players playing so many minutes. So, yeah, I think apart from Mason Mount, who was excellent again, and Callum taking his chance, I thought Callum was really good, looked much sharper than he has in the other games he's had opportunities. It was nice to see Giroud back in the rotation. And it's good. I think you can see Giroud and Tammy have a really good relationship. It's almost like the perfect kind of ages. Tammy learning off of such a streetwise centre forward. And I do think if we can get the five subs introduced in the Premier League, Giroud will be happy with sort of coming on in games, starting the odd game with Tammy coming on. I don't think there's anything wrong with rotating your centre forwards. But for me, one of them has to play. I'm still not convinced by Werner through the middle. And I think he's way more effective out wide.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a couple of big chances now missed by Werner, not just last night, but against Newcastle too. Last night, obviously, the big chance at the end, but we know that in the first minute, he missed an equally gilt-edged chance, put on a plate by Callum, who started superbly, was linking well down the right, and then obviously took matters into his own hands to finish the opening goal. But yeah, you're right. The squad dynamic is really going to it's going to depend on this new rule, isn't it, with the five subs. It suits us in the Champions League. I thought it was telling that you were able to see Lampard bring on Havertz as well. That is going to certainly be something that's going to add to the quality and the lack of predictability of his team, the numerous options Chelsea have. But yeah, Ziyech coming on again. The form is so good, the reliability on the ball, the joint most key passes with two with Mason Mount last night, despite only playing 16 minutes. You just know that you can trust him on the ball when teams offer him a little window, he'll expose that. So yeah, Ziyech, I think, comes straight back in at the weekend against Tottenham. But yeah, it was a really positive night until I thought the game started to slip away a little bit. In the midfield, I thought Jorginho and Kovacic. Actually, Kovacic. There's a worrying trend, in my opinion, in how he tracks his man Camavinga. That was a good little battle between those two. Camavinga, very talented young man, and was able to hold Kovacic off at times and keep the ball moving. But once the ball did reach the wing, I thought Camavinga then drifted into the penalty area and Kovacic would let him go. The other thing I'd say is that slightly worrying is you mentioned the set piece conceding from a corner. I thought we should have conceded earlier than that with Steven Nzonzi getting the free header from Zuma. Is that something to note down and monitor, or are Ren just a team that is very capable of exposing teams from set pieces? Because they are strong, they've got some presence in there.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of, again, you might lose a bit of concentration because you're coasting, maybe not being quite as touch tight, as physical as if you're fully concentrated. And also Ren having the right sort of player profiles to cause us problems. They had some really sort of big, powerful players that big leaps, attack the ball aggressively. It's not a concern for me, because I think if you look at the other games this season, we've looked really comfortable at set pieces. And I think in large part that's to do with the goalkeeper, but also with Thiago Silva, who I think organises us really well. I think that the goal I would probably need to see it again, but a little bit of a mix up between him and Thiago Silva and Zuma as to who was actually picking the defender up. For me, first of all, it looked like Zuma just kind of gets the wrong side of him and then switches off. But yeah, but I think that's quite uncharacteristic compared to, you know, the rest of this season, where I think we've been really good defending set pieces. So Not really a concern for me, I think. It's just one of those where a bit of a concentration slip on those two occasions. But you're probably right. I think just generally, apart from set pieces, I didn't really feel like they were going to score. I think we looked quite well organised in like a low to medium block. I was just about to sort of send in our group chat and really praise Azpilicueta, Zuma and Thiago Silva. I thought they were really, really good. I think Aspi was great coming back in. He looked like he'd been playing the last few games, really sharp defensively, really good. And Chilwell, it was a tough night because he had a really good, tricky player on his hands in Doku. But I think it was a good battle in the end. I think Chilwell really got to grips with him in the end and matched him 1v1 pretty well. So I think on the whole, we defended quite well. I think a lot of the time, not having Kante in the team changes the dynamic a little bit. You can't quite, push that little bit higher up the pitch. You can press better as a team. Teams don't bypass us as easily. Obviously, when Kante's in that position versus Jorginho, who I thought again was, he had good little spells in the game where he does some nice things, moves the ball one touch quite nicely, but then it's strange for me because he can sometimes read the game quite well, but then he takes risks and tries to nip in front of players as if he's an athletic midfielder who can afford to take those risks, and his decision making on kind of going to win the ball. His body position sometimes when tackling is like horrific. And I just think it's such a big drop off. I think in the Champions League group stage, you can sometimes get away with it. It's a different type of football. It's maybe a little bit more possession based, less transition. So he can get away with, you can get away with playing him in that role. But I think going forward, it's such a huge drop off from Kante to Jorginho. And I wouldn't be surprised now we've got another player coming back into the squad in Gilmore. I think Frank was sort of talking Gilmore up again, saying that, oh, he's a fit lad. He'll be back soon enough. And I really wouldn't be surprised to see him come back into the rotation. If we want to rotate Kante in that position where Gilmore did so well just before the lockdown. So that's another player to try and get minutes. So it'll be interesting to see how Frank balances all this. But at the moment, I think he's doing a pretty good job of keeping everyone happy.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention Gilmore. I think we saw some really promising signs before the injury last season, but the standard obviously is much less than it is now. I think even if it's still Premier League, I think you see Chelsea with the expectations now much higher. You see Champions League potentially for Gilmore to come into the last 16. Certainly I'd like to see him play in at least one of maybe the last game he might be fit for. That'll be very interesting to see. I think you're right about Ren. I think Doku was impressive. I thought Lea Saliki on the other side, very lively. I thought Guirassy he's a handful, isn't he? He's a pretty good target man. And I think for a team that's scored or won 1 point from the four games so far, I think they're a lot better than that. So I think you've got to give Chelsea a bit of credit here because they have negotiated this group relatively easily. I mean, the signs against Sevilla were that we might be in for a bit of a roller coaster like last season, but it's been pretty straightforward. So that is definitely promising. And then next week, there's obviously the return leg as such against Sevilla. So I think it would have been nice in a normal season to really attack that like a knockout game, to trial the dynamic and the strategy from the start. But I just think with the packed schedule, both teams through, I can see it pittering out into a sort of a drab draw. And I think both teams would probably accept that. I think if a team makes a big mistake, you'll see the other expose that. And I think that might decide the group. Obviously, we're not sure how it will play out. But Sevilla with the advantage on head-to-head going into that game, obviously Chelsea will need to score to get the better of that. So that will be interesting to see how that plays out. For you, Will, does that matter in terms of going through as group winners or runners-up? Lampard did mention it, but I think that is almost coach talk, isn't it? That we need to win the group. I think, as far as he's concerned, deep down, going into this season in the Champions League, he was absolutely prioritising just progressing, right?
Yeah, I think so. I would personally like to, I think it's quite important to win the group, and you know, favourable draw. I think you're more likely to get a favourable draw, and it would be nice to see us progress to the quarterfinals with a nice draw. I agree with you on Ren. I think it was certainly more of a test than the last few Premier League games, where we're still trying to figure out exactly how good this sort of new Chelsea side is in this new system that we've sort of moved towards, that looks like it really works for all of the players. And it was more of a test, and obviously we rotated the side, so we weren't quite at full strength. And I think that they're a good side, so it will be interesting. I can imagine the Sevilla game being, again, one that we try and sort of coast, and both teams are quite happy with the draw, and then you'll probably see Sevilla kind of step it up the last 20 minutes and really try and put us under pressure, and because, you know, they don't have too much to lose, obviously, going into that game being second, so they can try and pinch top spot off of us. So, yeah, it's brilliant to qualify. That would have been the ultimate aim at the start. But I just really hope, and I do think this squad is well set up to make a run in the Champions League, which we haven't seen for a long time, especially with the five sub rule. I think we've got so many options, as we've discussed. And I think we've shown now that we can play a couple of different ways. We can press high, put teams under pressure in the first 60 minutes. And then we can also now with Thiago Silva, we can kind of suffer a little bit without the ball. He helps organise us. We defend the box better with him. So we've got a couple of different ways to beat teams. So I think that's important in the Champions League. Invariably, you're going to come up in the latter stages against teams where you do have to suffer without the ball, be organised, defend your box, sit in a lower block. And we've got so many weapons to hurt teams on the break. You know, Werner, Callum, Pulisic coming back, Tammy. So, you know, it's exciting. I would really love to see us have a little run in the Champions League. I think we've all been waiting for that for quite a while now.
Definitely. Yeah. I think you sort of gauge the view of most Chelsea fans perfectly there, Will. I think you're right. This is the big time now, isn't it? The opportunity, even without fans, probably. But that said, hopefully at the start of 2021, we might see fans reintroduced. But I think you're right. Win the group, and then you look at the layout of the competition so far, and I don't think there's anything really to strike fear into Chelsea from the potential runners-up at this stage. I mean, if we just go through them quickly now, because we can look at Spurs in a later pod with Grant. But so far, you've seen Group H after four games, PSG looking like they will take that runners-up spot, or RB Leipzig. I think there's nothing to fear there. You look at Juventus, probably going to take that runners-up spot behind Barcelona in Group G. Again, they were trailing to Ferencváros. I think they needed a Morata goal in stoppage time to get the better of them. And I don't think Pirlo, despite the talent that Juventus might have, it's comparable, if not better, than Chelsea. I think Lampard has nothing to fear from a rookie manager in Pirlo. Group F, Lazio in behind Dortmund at the moment. I think Lazio, pretty impressive team, quite a complete team, but I think Chelsea would handily take them the last 16 game. You then got Ajax or Atalanta. Obviously, we know what Atalanta did last season, but they're not the same team so far this season. Obviously, they're only halfway through their group stage at the moment. And then you've got Porto potentially taking that runners-up spot in Group C behind Man City. Group B is a bit of an anomaly because at the moment it's only halfway and you've got Real Madrid in third, Inter Milan in fourth. So currently it would be Shakhtar as the runners-up behind Mönchengladbach. But again, you've seen what Inter Milan can offer. Their best is very, very good, but they can be got at just like any other team at the moment. Real Madrid, likewise, in a transition. And then Group A, Bayern Munich going to win the league. You avoid them. Atletico Madrid as runners-up. I think they might be the toughest of the runners-up. But again, like you look at all those teams I've rattled off, Will, get that top spot. And there's not a lot to worry about because you look at how Chelsea got Bayern Munich last season. That was really unfortunate, I think, in terms of the draw. But we said going into this, we'd like to get into that quarterfinals and then see where we're at. And I think quarterfinals would be a fair achievement this season, provided they finish in the top four again in the league. I think that would be par for the course. And it looks now that Chelsea are almost on the brink of obtaining a winnable tie in the last 16 and having that opportunity to progress.
Yeah, it's we've got to aim for the semi-finals. I think, you know, that if we want to go to this next level, be up there in the challenging for the Premier League title. I think as soon as you're challenging for the Premier League title, your aim should be to get to the semi-finals. So like, you know, we consistently used to get in the Champions League semi-finals. We were spoiled, really. It just always seemed every single year there were such massive games towards the end of the season. And we haven't had that for a while. You know, we've had some success in the Europa League, but that's not where we want to be at all. So, yeah, I'm looking at those groups. I think if we finish top, there's four out of the seven groups that we would be drawn against. I think four out of seven are quite favourable for us, like the ones that you've gone through. Whereas if we finish top, you've got some tough draws, and it looks like Man United and Liverpool are probably going to top their group. So it increases the chances of us and Man City. So, it increases the chance of us drawing a Bayern, which...
Well,
to be honest with you, I think everyone just wants to avoid Bayern.
So. Yeah, you mentioned that, Will, the fact that United, City and Liverpool probably going to top their group. So that immediately brings it down to four potential opponents, am I right in saying? And then you have Bayern Munich, who will win the group, more than likely. You then have Dortmund, who I think would be the second team I'd like to avoid as group winners. And then you've got Barcelona as the other top team in Group G, plus whoever finishes top in Group B. As I said, that's only halfway there, but you could end up with a situation if Liverpool, City and Man United win their group. You can end up with a situation of Bayern Munich, Dortmund, Barcelona, and then one of Real Madrid or Inter Milan if they emerge following the next three games as the group winners, as we probably would expect, because... Yeah. Gladbach at the moment have a 1-point advantage over Real Madrid and a 3-point advantage over Inter Milan. So that can flip pretty quickly. But that group of four teams, to be guaranteed to face one of those four, and who would be the team you'd want from that? I guess you would want Real Madrid or Inter Milan. Maybe you would want Barcelona. And I think that would be exciting. But you're right. You, as runners-up, you then have a 25% chance. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the exact maths. I mean, I know it is literally by four potential opponents, Bayern Munich being one of them. But in terms of Bayern Munich is the one you want to avoid. And if we can go to Sevilla next week and get a positive result, I think would it require a 2-2 draw would be enough to take us, or even a 1-1? Would it then go down to goal difference? So it's definitely in Chelsea's hands. I mean, Chelsea have got a 5-goal cushion in the goal difference department over Sevilla. So if they can just match the home leg or the home game against Sevilla, then they'll actually it was 0-0, wasn't it, at Stamford Bridge? So yeah, just a 0-0 draw in Andalusia, and then we'll go down to goal difference. So yeah, something to look forward to. And do you think Lampard maybe sees next week as a chance to almost test himself in this European environment with the strategy up against a pretty top coach as well?
Yeah, I would like to see us pick a pretty strong team and get this done. Like we've just gone through there. You just want to avoid playing those big teams, and you know, going out at the first hurdle is not good. So I think he'll pick a pretty strong team, and you've got those five subs. You know, you obviously have to make them in installments for free, but you can take the players off. You know, if I think we have shown this season, if we are at our maximum in periods of the game, we can create chances. We can create a lot of chances in a short space of time. I think we've been probably a little bit guilty of maybe not being that efficient. I think a lot of that is maybe to do with Werner, but I think that will come right. We've seen how efficient and clinical he's been for Leipzig. So that'll be fine. I've got no worries about that. He's a good finisher on the whole. And I think I'm a believer that, you know, the main thing is getting in there to miss them. just consistently getting in good positions, and you'll start, your luck will start to turn. But yeah, I think we've shown that we can, we do have the potential to blow teams away. So I think we should look to do that, get it done on the night, and then take some players off. Like I say, the draw, you can see there's four chances out of seven there if we finish top to get quite favourable draws, versus mm-hmm. if we finish second, you open up the potential of a bit of a nightmare draw. Might be interesting if we finish top and Inter start to come back and in that group and get a second place, a rematch against the meeting with Conte, that would be interesting. I think he'd be highly motivated to knock us out.
yeah, definitely, and that would be a cracking tie. Just on those potential runners up, those winners, if Chelsea are runners up, where would you rank the other options beyond Bayern Munich? I mean, do you agree that Dortmund would be the team you least like to play after Bayern Munich, or would you put Barcelona still with the potential that Messi has to elevate that team above them?
I think I'd rather play Barcelona, which is strange to say, because always historically just want to avoid Barcelona, but they look like they're in a little bit of a mess to me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Dortmund look dangerous as a top spot.
Haaland just looks like the best number nine in the world right now, doesn't he? I mean,
yeah,
scored again last night, just looks ice cold in front of goal. I mean, quite a difference to Werner. I mean, both top strikers, but he doesn't look like he'll miss whenever he's put through one-on-one. I don't know, just the technique is really impressive, the way that he gets his feet in the right position. He's an absolute killer, isn't he?
Yeah, just quality player. I think he's still got quite a lot to improve on in terms of holding the ball up and linking the play and stuff like that. But in terms of like a threat in behind, he's just, you know, he's pretty unplayable, really. And so clinical, like you say. So yeah, it'd be interesting. I think, like I say, going through that, it's definitely of benefit to us to top this group. So let's get that done. And then the last game, you can just play, you know, Emerson gets a run out, gets his little cameo, players like that, you know, you can completely rotate the squad. So I think that should be the plan for next week anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I think the game next week will be interesting. I mean, Sevilla have won four games in a row, but under Lopetegui, they're far from an embodiment of consistency. They're seventh in La Liga. They've had some poor results before this little run of four wins. So, and they did require a Munir goal in stoppage time to win in Krasnodar. So I think it's a team to be respected, but I think given the potential of this Chelsea team, they can certainly go there and look to get a positive result and set themselves up superbly for the last 16. So that will do us for today. If you like the show, you can follow us on social media at Palpable Pod. If you would like to support us and spread the word, leaving a review, 5-star review, if possible, would be greatly appreciated to spread the word to other Chelsea fans around the world. And then we'll be back with a preview for the big game this weekend, Tottenham. I think it's going to be mouth-watering contest. We'll get Grant back in the hot seat as well to debate the team selection and everything surrounding facing Mourinho's side. So, yeah, thanks for listening. And it's good to be through to the last 16 of the Champions League. We'll catch you next time.